that very much. And we have had a wonderful time here over the last few days, getting to know everyone, those that we did get to know, and the staff and students, and we're just thankful for that. And so I just want to, before I begin, say thank you for just the opportunity to come here. You know, you come, this is our first time, and we want it to be a blessing. And as it happens many times, we get blessed instead. And so it's been wonderful. And Dr. Comfort, Dr. Beal, who's away, thank you so much, and staff for everything you've done, and appreciate the opportunity. I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, Luke chapter 17. I try to be practical in my preaching, particularly in settings like this, and in some of the classes I had the opportunity to teach as well, because I know that those things are always helpful, practical things. And today I'm going to hit an area of the Christian life that's going to affect every one of us, that does affect every one of us. Luke chapter 17, if you'd stand with me, I'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down just to verse 6. Luke 17, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in this place at this time. Lord, we know that this is a divine appointment. You brought us here, you've brought me here, you brought the students here for a reason. And I pray today that you'd just speak to our hearts. Lord, we need to hear from heaven today. Please do something in our hearts that would equip us, Lord, for not only today, but for the journey ahead. And so, Father, I need you. Please give me liberty in the pulpit. Fill me with your spirit. And I pray that you'd remove any distractions in our minds and in this place, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've been preaching a series in our church through an interesting topic, and that is the public recorded sermons of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I first started it, I didn't realize what a challenge it would be in some ways, but I want you to think about that. Public, meaning those things that Jesus Christ preached publicly, recorded, meaning that they are recorded in the Bible, and sermons he preached, not his teachings necessarily, or his individual parables, but the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here in Luke chapter 17, we are in the midst of what I believe to be Christ's 20th public recorded sermon. It's a somewhat of a long sermon. It began back in chapter 15 and runs through chapter 17, a little bit further than I read there in verse 10. Now, this sermon was preached just months before the Lord Jesus Christ would go to Calvary, and that's why he came to earth. We understand that. He came to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world. It was a sermon that was preached publicly to all, but what's interesting about it is that some of his words were directed to certain groups. For example, some of the things he said in this sermon were directed at the Pharisees and the scribes, to unbelievers. Others were directed to his disciples. Now, in this one sermon, he preached on several different subjects, and they were addressed to different groups in the crowd. For example, if you'll turn back a page or so to Luke chapter 15 and notice verse 1. We read, then drew near him unto all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So here he's preaching to the Pharisees and the scribes. And we know what he's preaching about, the familiar chapter, Luke chapter 15, where he preaches about his desire to save all sinners. And we read of one parable divided into three parts, of the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son. Then if you look at chapter 16, notice he turns to his disciples in verse 1. He says, and he said also unto his disciples. Now he turns to them and he preaches to them on the subject of stewardship. In other words, the things that God gives to us, are we are to be stewards of them. Then later on in chapter 16, he preaches on the subject of covetousness. And then in the last part of chapter 16, another familiar passage, he preaches to the Pharisees. If you'll notice, it begins in verse 14. And the Pharisees, who also were covetous, heard all these things. They derided him. And so he goes on to preach about covetousness and then goes on to preach about hell as well. And he tells them that there is a real physical place called hell. And that all that do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior will go there. And there is no getting out of hell. And that's how chapter 16 ends. But the sermon doesn't end. The sermon continues. It goes on in verse 1 to start out, where now he specifically turns to his disciples. Notice the Bible says, then said he unto the disciples. And in this section, he's going to deal with a subject that all of us have to learn about, have to know about, have to know how to deal with. And that is the subject of offenses. Notice he says again in verse 1, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Christ is trying to prepare his disciples for what lie ahead. He would be leaving this earth shortly after he went to the cross, was buried, and rose again, spending some time with them, ascending back to heaven. And he would leave them here to accomplish his task in this world, the Great Commission. And he's warning them of something that all of us are going to face. Notice what he says, if you will, in verse 3 of our text, Luke chapter 17. He says this, take heed to yourselves. Notice he doesn't say take heed to the other guy. He says take heed to yourselves. This morning I'd like to preach on the subject that you may not understand the title until towards the end, but maybe you will. Here it is. It's a question. The question is this. Have offenses offended you? Have offenses offended you? You know, perhaps one of the most common reasons that Christians stop serving God is this matter of offenses. They become offended. Many Christians miss church. They leave church. They stop coming. They drift away. They develop a bad attitude. They leave even a good fundamental independent Baptist church. They maybe even leave a good fundamental independent Baptist college because they've become offended over something. Somewhere along the line, something happened. Somebody said something. Somebody did something that they did not like, or perhaps they did not agree with it. Perhaps they thought, well, I would have done that a different way. Or they misunderstood the circumstances, and because of that misunderstanding, they become offended. With that offense, many things happen. When we become offended, what happens when a person becomes offended? They lose their enthusiasm for the things of God. They lose their zeal. They lose their desire to serve the Lord. It either fades away, diminishes, or it comes to an abrupt end, all because they got offended. And I ask you this morning, does that describe you? You can sit in a Bible college and be an offended person. You can sit in a good church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and be an offended person. And that's exactly what the Lord is trying to teach us here. How do we deal with this? How do we respond to them? Because the way you and I respond to offenses is going to make or break our usefulness and our service to the Lord. Let's look at our text this morning and consider some things. I need help in this area, don't you? I need help, and I want the Lord to help me and help you this morning as we look in this passage. Notice, first of all, number one, let's consider the certainty of offenses. Notice what Christ says. The Bible speaks in verse 1, then said he unto the disciples, notice, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Now he turns to his disciples. Mind you, he's speaking to all. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He's talking about hell. Now he turns to his disciples and he speaks to them of something that all of us need to be constantly reminded of. And he says, it is impossible but that offenses will come. In other words, offenses are something that all of us have to deal with. We cannot escape them. You say, well, preacher, why do Christians do that? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. But what exactly are offenses? What are they? What is he speaking of here? Well, the word offenses, it's interesting. It comes from the Greek word skandalon. It's where we get our English word scandal. Very, very interesting. It means this. It means to be a stumbling block. It means to entrap. It means to trip up. It means to cause to sin. In other words, it has the idea of you walking along in your Christian life, trying to serve the Lord, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden something crosses your path to try to make you stumble, to trip up. And that is an offense. An offense. You see, an offense is something that somebody either says or they does that has a potential of, and sometimes even the intent to, hurt somebody. To cause them to stumble. To cause them to fall. To do some sort of spiritual damage in the life of another. Something that hinders their spiritual advancement and their spiritual growth. Do you know that there are both real offenses and there are perceived offenses? Here's what I mean by that. A real offense is something that really did happen. For example, someone really does something or says something to hurt you. They say an unkind word. They say something smart. Perhaps it's a criticism. Perhaps it's a verbal attack. Perhaps it's a hurtful action. Something, but it's a real thing. It really did happen. But there's also perceived offenses. You say, what are they? Those are things that really did not happen. But you think they did. Because maybe somebody told you something that somebody said and they never said that. Or perhaps you have partial knowledge over some decisions that is made. You have no idea what went on. And it's a perceived offense that you have to deal with. But in your mind, whether perceived or real, you convinced yourself this has really happened and it's something that you're going to have to deal with. All of us have to. An offense. Why do they come? After all, we're Christians, aren't we? We should all love the Lord and serve the Lord. You know, we should love one another. Heard a message last night about brotherly kindness. What an encouraging message. That's the way it ought to be. But it's not. Why? Well, I think there's two reasons. One is the nature of man. Man's nature. Mankind has a sinful nature. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful. Imagine this. Above all things. What an incredible statement that is. The heart is deceitful, God says, but not just deceitful. It's deceitful above everything else. And it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lest we forget what we are by nature, would you hold your hand here and turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 3. If you ever want to get a good look at yourself and come down off a high horse, just journey into Romans chapter 3 and read about ourselves. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Notice the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. Notice, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Notice, their throat is an open sepulcher. That's like an open grave. Imagine that. The smell that comes out of a grave that's been opened up. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's who we are by nature. We are sinners deserving of hell. That's why we need to be saved. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and thank the Lord for that. But even though we're saved and we know the Lord, we still have that old man in there. That Adamic nature. That flesh. I think about what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7. Here's a man that served the Lord. Here's a man, perhaps, in my opinion, the greatest Christian in the New Testament. Yet he said years after his salvation in Romans chapter 7, he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." You see, our old man is naturally corrupt. Let's understand that. He is naturally self-serving. He's naturally self-centered. He's naturally self-promoting. That's what we are. You see, the chief concern that our Adamic nature has is ourselves. What's good for me? So understand naturally what we want to do. We naturally desire to deliver an offense. We naturally find fault in things. We naturally criticize. We naturally put others down. We naturally assume the worst. And we naturally want to execute vengeance. That's within all of us. We can be so cruel, can't we? Think of our tongues. Think of the damage that we do with our tongues, criticizing people, making fun of people, putting someone down because they look a little different, criticizing decisions that are made. All of that. This is our corrupt nature. James chapter 4 puts it this way. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Where does this fighting and wars come among Christians? Where does it come? Come they not hence, even of your own lust that war in your members? It's you. It's ourselves. It comes from within us. That's what we must understand. So we think we're going to go through this world unscathed by offenses, we're wrong. There's another reason for offenses. Not only the nature of man, but the nature of our message. Think about this. God has commanded us to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lord Jesus Christ said this about offenses just after he got done preaching about hell. Because we are to preach the word of God. We're to stand for God's truth. We're to propagate the gospel. We're to speak out. We're to stand for what's right. And we are to do this in a sinful, Christ-rejecting world. That's what we're to do. And we're to do it amongst a generation of believers that want their ears tickled. They say, "Tell us good things. Tell us what we want to hear." They don't want to be told what to do today. They don't want to submit to God and His Word. This is what happens when the Word of God is preached. One of the things when you preach the truth is that people respond with an offense. Just stand in the handshake line after church, after the service is over, next to me and my wife, or any other pastor for that matter. It's not all peachy statements. It's not all, "We love you, preacher. Good message. Did a great job." Sometimes they come after you with an offense. And they're not afraid to say it. Loud before others. So understand something. Offenses are a certain thing. The certainty of offenses. Back to Luke chapter 17. Notice, secondly, not only the certainty of offenses, notice the seriousness of offenses. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, first of all, it is impossible that offenses will come. But notice what he says here. "But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Notice what he says here. It is a very serious thing to be the one that's delivering those offenses. Very serious thing. You see, if we are the ones that do something or say something that is hurtful to someone, that attacks them, that is damaging, that causes them to stumble spiritually, that defames their character, that hinders their spiritual walk, that does not build them up but tears them down, God says this is a very serious thing. We take it so lightly, don't we? It's a very serious thing to be a critical person. Criticize the school, criticize roommates, criticize other people. God help us. God help us to understand the seriousness of this thing. Doesn't the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, nothing should come out of our mouths unless it builds somebody up, unless it ministers grace to another person. 2 Corinthians 6:3 says, giving none offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. There's nothing that warrants us to deliver an offense to another. Nothing. And notice the language in our text that Christ uses. He says, woe unto him, woe unto him through whom they come. This is one of the strongest possible phrases that God can use in the Bible. Woe unto him. It means cursings unto them. It means calamity unto that person. It actually means misery unto that person. You know, perhaps that's why so many Christians are so miserable. Because God has pronounced woe unto them because of all the offenses they deliver to everybody else. They become so miserable. I believe this especially applies to children. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea. What a serious thing. This is the Lord Jesus Christ saying this. That a millstone be hanged around your neck and thrown into the sea. Then that he should fend. Notice one of these little ones. No doubt he's speaking of children here. But I believe it could apply to spiritual children, babes in Christ. How sensitive young Christians are to things and how damaging our words can do to them. I remember my wife and I when we were first saved and we wanted to get involved with the bus ministry. And we didn't know a whole lot about the bus ministry, but the pastor was preaching about it and he was telling how they needed someone to drive the bus and do all that. And he kind of, in an invitation, said, anybody here, the Lord speaking to your heart, you know, wants to be involved with the bus ministry. And I thought, I could do that. I raised my hand. I was just an ignorant Christian, newborn in Christ, and I'll do that. I was surprised some of the comments that you hear after that. People say things like this, well, there goes your Saturdays. You're going to have to deal with a bunch of snotty-nosed kids and dirty people come on the bus. You know how damaging those things are to people? You see a new Christian in the church that loves the Lord on fire, what we say on fire for God, but really it's normal Christianity. He's going after souls and winning people to Christ, and people say foolish things that are offenses, things like this. Oh, that'll wear out soon. You'll get over that. You'll be like one of us one day. You see, when a person delivers offenses, those offenses have such a potential to damage people, to hurt them, and to hinder their spiritual growth. May we never underestimate the seriousness of our offenses. Notice thirdly, not only the certainty of offenses, the seriousness of offenses. Notice the scriptural response to offenses. Let's go on the other side now. How do we respond? Offenses are sure, God said. The Lord said, there's no way you'll get around them. They're going to come. It's impossible, but that they come. So how do we deal with it? How do you deal with it? How do I deal with it when we get these hand grenades lobbed at us? Well, let's see verse 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. Notice yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So what do we do? Whether it's a perceived offense or a real offense, how do we respond when somebody hurts us? How do we respond when somebody wrongs us, when they sin against us, when they do something we don't like or don't agree with or would have done differently or we just don't understand? What are we to do? Well, there's a right response and there's a wrong response. Certainly the right response is in our text. Notice it's very simply laid out. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. What are we to do? Go to that person. There's an idea. Don't go to your roommate. Don't go to another student. Don't go to somebody else. Go to that person and talk to them about it. Talk it out. Get everything out in the open. Clear up the situation. But understand, whether you come to an agreement or not, because it may not come to a place where you're satisfied, you and I must do one critical thing. Forgive them. Just forgive them. You say, what does that mean? Here's what it means. It means to release it to God. That's what we're to do. We are to release it to God. We're to lay it aside. We are to send it away. You say, preacher, what if it happens again? Read verse 4. If it happens again, release it again. What if it's the same person over and over again? I have trouble with this person all the time. Then release it and release it and release it. Just like the Lord said to Peter in Matthew chapter 18. Forgive, 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 forgive. It is that simple. This is how the Lord has taught us to deal with offenses. And it's the only way to have victory. Perhaps one of the greatest examples of this is Joseph. Boy, they hurled offenses against Joseph, didn't they? Over and over again. Thrown in the pit. Sent down to Potiphar's house. Sent into prison for years. He was sinned against. Offenses came his way. One after the other after the other. What was his attitude towards it? Hold your hand here. Turn to Genesis chapter 50. I think you know the verse. Let's look at it anyway. Notice here, towards the end of the book of Genesis, we read in verse 19 of Genesis 50. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. Notice this, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. This is the right response to offenses. God help us. But you know what the sad thing is? Most Christians don't deal with offenses that way. You see, there's a wrong response to offenses also. You say, what is the wrong response? Here it is. We become offended. The offense causes us to become offended. You see, people that do not forgive, people that do not release it to God, they become offended people. And many times, an offended person will do some things that surprise you. Sometimes they respond with acts of retaliation. Well, that's what they're going to do. And I'm going to do this. Retaliation. And what they do is they actually justify their wrong actions because they were offended. So it's almost as if they're saying, I can do whatever I want because I've been offended. And they do all kinds of things, sinful things even. And they do it because they say, I've been offended. That's the wrong response. Sometimes we do a little bit of a silent type of becoming offended. We don't speak to that person. I won't retaliate, but I'm not talking to them. We act like they're not there. I've had people in our church that haven't dealt with things, offenses, and you have some of them that have been in there for years and they haven't spoke for years to another church member because something happened, and instead of responding the way the Lord wanted them to respond, they became offended. And you have one sitting over here and one sitting over here. It's kind of funny to watch during handshake time all the maneuvers they have to do to avoid one another. And I think this is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Sometimes you just give an attitude towards that person. Sometimes you talk to other people about that person. You complain about that other person. Sometimes they'll sow discord because they're offended. Sometimes they'll miss church. Sometimes they'll make foolish, impulsive decisions because they've been offended. I'm leaving this church. I'm leaving this school. I've been offended. That's the wrong response. I had a lady get offended at me because I did not recognize that her son was in the service that was visiting. Now, I didn't mean to do that. I mean, I had no intent of saying anything. He was just a person in service. But she had the idea that I did that on purpose, that I did that, you know, intentionally because I wanted to get them, and she allowed that to offend her. Oh, it's amazing what can happen. You see, offended church members are very damaging to the work of God. Offended Bible college students are very damaging to a school. Very damaging. You say, why do you say that? Because they get a bad attitude. They stop serving. They have a bad testimony. They quit school or quit church and they backslide on God. And perhaps the worst thing is before they do that, they infect others. Often, instead of dealing with that offense, becoming offended and passing that offense on to other people. I've had people upset with me that had no idea of a situation, and I don't even know how they found out about it, but the person that was offended went to them and told them, and they accepted what they said, and now this person either left church or they're not talking to me. But, hey, they got offended, so they have a right. Oh, God, help us. I want us all to turn to a verse, Psalm 119, verse 165. Would you turn there with me? Perhaps you could memorize this verse for your own heart. Notice Psalm 119, verse 165. When I say begin, could we read it together? Just say the verse, not the location. Psalm 119, verse 165. Ready? Begin. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Can we say that again? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This is what God says. Christ said offenses are going to come. Things are going to be said. Actions are going to be done against you. Friction is going to be there between people. But when that offense comes, there is nothing that should offend us. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. No matter what someone does, no matter what someone says, no matter how somebody treats us, no matter how unfair something may have seemed, nothing should offend us. Nothing. And if we've truly forgiven, if we have truly forgiven the matter, then three things are going to happen. First of all, number one, we'll stop bringing that offense up over and over again. Well, I'm over it, but you know, let me just tell you about it anyway. No, you haven't forgiven then. You see, someone that brings something up over and over and over again is having a problem with forgiveness. They haven't gotten through it yet. The second thing is this, you would give up any idea of retaliation. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to retaliate. And then thirdly, you're going to treat that person like whatever happened never happened. It doesn't mean, again, you trust them. There's a difference between forgiveness and trust. Forgiveness can happen in a moment, but trust is built over time. But you can forgive them in a moment. Again, you may not become best friends with that person. But what's happened is you've given it over to God, and it's not become a stumbling block. It hasn't hindered you, and you are going to move on for God and serve Him with your life, no matter what happens. That's the way we deal with it. That is the spiritual response to offenses. And then lastly, number four, I want you to notice back in our text, the statement of the apostles. They responded how I would have responded. After he talks about the certainty of offenses, the seriousness of offenses, the spiritual response to offenses, notice what the apostles say. Notice the statements. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. That's how I feel. Because you get things said to you and done to you, things people lob to you as you're trying to serve the Lord. Many times this is a tactic of the devil. And what is the solution here? Faith. Trusting God. Increase our faith. All things are conquered by faith. Faith is the victory. Give it to God. Let God deal with it. And he will. So not being offended means I'm going to have to trust the Lord in this one. I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why they said that. I don't think. When the natural thing that I want to do when that offense comes is I want to retaliate. I want to get an attitude. I want to get upset. I want to do everything in my power to prove, hey, I'm the right one here. That's what I want to prove. But God says, give it to him. Oh, I need faith for that. You know, when someone gets offended, you know what the problem is? Pride. Pride. The center of pride is I, me. The problem is me when I get offended. My pride. You see, if we are the Christians God wants us to be, dead to self. I die daily, the Apostle Paul said. Dead men do not get offended. We don't. If we're dead. God help us. Offenses are coming your way. Let me ask you something this morning. How have you dealt with them so far? You know, a Bible college setting is kind of like a microcosm of a church or Christian life where you have people that want to do right, and people that want to do wrong, and then people in the middle. That means that you're going to have to deal with things. You're never going to get to a place where there's some utopia where everybody's nice to each other. Everybody gets along. We're all sitting in the corner singing Kumbaya together. No, it's offenses and dealing with them. Offenses and trying to move forward in the Christian life. Too many people, too many Christians sit in our churches offended and bitter over something that happened. I don't want to live my life that way. Do you? Do you? God help us in this matter of offenses. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your instruction. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that we would be real about the Christian life, understanding that if we're going to live for you, we're going to have to deal with offenses. God, may we not be the deliverer of offenses, realizing what you said about them. And Lord, also, when that offense comes, that we would not become offended people. Please, may we respond in the way you want us to respond in this matter of offenses. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.